Hey, Jason Bratt here. This is my radio voice. Hey, everybody. Hey.
Tester.
Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and digital patient engagement strategies for hospitals, healthcare systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into a variety of topics on the digital tools, solutions, strategies, and processes that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information and have fun along the way. And now, here are your hosts, Reed Smith and Chris Boyer.
Welcome to episode number 94 of Touchpoint. I am your co-host, Reed Smith, joined as always by Chris Boyer.
Hey, Reed. How's it going, man?
Good.
I'm so excited today. You know why?
Why?
Because we are joined by our longtime friends and fellow colleagues.
Before we jump into that and before we let them introduce themselves, again, thanks for listening. Touchpoint.health is the website. Rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate the support. Mm-hmm. And those that have listened the last couple of episodes, a couple of episodes ago, we did one of these kind of look back episodes, if you will, with Lee Acey and Ed Bennett talking about the internet, websites, all that kind of fun stuff. And we've got a few other folks here today, and we're going to talk more specifically now about social media. Same similar format, yeah. I guess. Around the podcast microphone, to my left, Randy, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, guys. I feel very privileged to be here. And, of course, it's wonderful seeing you all, long-lost friends. Randy Schwartz. So I currently work for the Mayo Clinic. I support the Mayo Clinic Care Network in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Mayo Clinic Jacksonville, Florida campus. But used to work for the Mayo Clinic Center for Social Media in the past. So that's kind of a little bit of history, how I've met everybody in this room.
Absolutely.
And Jason? Let's get on to me, Randy, because that's what, you know, that's the exciting part there. Jason Pratt, and a longtime listener and first-time caller. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I worked with the Center for Social Media team at Mayo Clinic from 2011 to 2016. It was one of the coolest jobs I've done. I loved it, and I got to meet you guys, which was probably the highlight. And probably the biggest portfolio piece of mine while working there was I met my wife there. Which was cool. So she currently works at Mayo Clinic. Now it's been 2 years since I've been away from Mayo, but I don't feel that disconnected because you guys in the room here and because of social media. I'm supporting and working for my business that my brothers and I own, and it's something completely different from the medical industry and social media. However, I use a ton of social media every day to promote my business, but we build backyards. We're a building contractor. We design and build outdoor living spaces. So for people who love being outside, love the outdoors, love that awesome Florida lifestyle, Pratt guys, we build them. It's fun. So
and you're like a TV star too.
Yeah, TV star. Yeah. Much more famous than the rest of us.
I think so too. We'll put a link to that yes. episode of Extreme Pools.
Insane Pools.
Insane Pools. Yes. So, okay.
Very cool.
Anyway, we got one other person yes. around the room here.
Yeah. Sean Bishop, basically the last guy standing of the three that worked together in the social media, the original social media center. I don't know, Jason and I can no longer travel together due to other restrictions, but we've been down a long path and it's great to see everybody again.
Very cool. Wow. Very cool.
Well, I mean, we're all here together because, I mean, this is the conference that we're at, Reed, this week is the yep. Mayo Clinic Annual Social Media Conference. And this is part of the social media network that the Mayo Clinic has started. Hashtag MCSMN out there on Twitter if you want to yep. follow along, although maybe a little too late when you're listening to this.
And get the archive.
You can get the archive.
And it's an ongoing hashtag.
Mm-hmm. It is.
People use it.
Yeah, sure.
And this is year 8, if my math is correct.
That's correct. Okay. Year 8. And back in 2011, right, is when we first started to meet each other. And yep. All five of us together, we were together at the beginning yep. of that, talking about social media. Yep. And I was talking about ROI of social media and
how to Jason use ukulele.
Jason yeah. was doing some absolutely. Crazy stuff.
Ukulele. Talking about our clout scores.
Yeah.
Clout scores.
Wow, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about clout in a minute.
Remember when everybody had a clout score of 99? It's yeah. like...
Yeah. How's that even like mathematically right. possible? I don't. I'm not even sure that how that's yeah. true. But Jason had red glasses. Now Randy has red glasses.
Exactly.
But anyway, lots have changed. Lots still stay the same. And we thought it'd be fun to talk about a little bit, because we have done this for 8 years. So we're recording in Jacksonville, Florida at this annual conference. And so for years, this was in Rochester every year, kind of the mothership, if you will, or the main Mayo campus. In the last couple of years, they've rotated it between Arizona and Florida, et cetera. And so we're down here in Jacksonville, so we thought it'd be fun to get together and talk a little bit about, you know, what we've seen change. So there's some things that are going to stay the same, and we probably won't talk a lot about those. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you know, LinkedIn, those kind of, if they were there when we started, they're still there, even though there's maybe some different features, et cetera, et cetera. But Jason, let's start with you. You were always the proponent for the latest Google craze, which is Google Wave. Was it Wave? Waze? Wave.
Wave.
Google Wave.
Yeah.
And then Google Plus primarily. Google Plus.
Yeah.
Is that a thing anymore? I mean, technically it is. Google? It's kind of part of Google My Business, I guess, now, right?
So, well, Google Plus completely is like sunsetted. I think like just 2 weeks ago, they kind of officially put a blog post out saying, hey, we are gone.
Quit asking us about this. Yeah. We're not doing it anymore.
Google tends to do that a lot with a lot of their different products.
They do. I'm a huge, huge Google fan. I like their engineers. You know, I didn't actually. I was actually kind of glad, to be honest. But because I felt like it was time, you know, like, but they should all be very proud of themselves. I mean, the idea of having a social network, I still think was a bad idea for Google. I mean, they're not social network kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are good at is organizing data and making it easy for a regular person to find it, you know?
Right,
and,
sure.
And so the evolution of what Google Plus has kind of become, or I would like to say what it's kind of shed away from itself, is, you know, Google Hangouts. I use it daily. I know we are all talking about how we still all use that often. And they also, you know, for a business, that's my cocktail being made in the background, by the way, by Randy. Thank you, Randy. That's delicious, by the way. No, but really it has Google Meet or Google Hangouts, but they've also branded it as Google Meet.
Yeah.
And then Google Photos, I really think is still the very best platform right now. I put all my photos on Google Photos. And then, like Reed was just talking about, Google My Business is actually what I feel like they should have done from the very beginning. It says, and say, hey, we're going to make a platform for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And to where you don't, like, I use Google My Business for my business, but you don't feel like I have to post daily. And I'm not having to, there's no commenting happening.
Well, you know, they've historically, you know, people Google things, right? Like, they're the idea that they're like the source of truth for something. So the idea that they would have and aggregate data specifically around business listings, ratings and review, perception data, you know, even some photos, business photos, 360 views, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because no one else is doing that way. I mean, there's other directories out there, obviously, but...
Right. Well, and Google's become sort of the preeminent source of that. And when you're working, like I work in a hospital right now, and Google My Business listings, the GMB listings, are really critical to our online reputation. They have now reviews on them. There's a variety of things that you could do, and it powers like the ecosystem of Google. And I feel like we should be, you know, maybe getting some sponsorship dollars from Google. how much we're talking about them right now.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that in that particular case, though, they do experiment a lot too. They try a lot of different things, and they have the ability to do that. And things like Google Plus, that was a really great experiment that they were trying to do. I wouldn't say it was that great of a social network, but it did a lot for SEO, and it did a lot to help your content get discovered. And now they're doing something called Posts on Google, which is like their new version of of trying to get sponsored
Google
content.
Plus.
Wow. It kind of is, right?
Posts on Google.
Yeah, so check it out, Posts on Google. Yeah. We'll put that link in the show notes for people to look into that. So clearly Google is still there. It's still a player, an important player in everything that we do. I don't think they would be considered a social media network, though.
No. I mean, early on, though, we did those presentations. Or, you know, you did, especially Jason, did some presentations as we, you know, as we think about, like, the Mayo Clinic residency program we would present on Facebook and Twitter, et cetera. That used to be one of those modules, and it's it's not anymore. Something else I think that's kind of funny that's evolved, and this is obviously more hardware technology, but Sean, you know, the flip cam thing was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, let's run out and get these flip cams because they hold AA batteries, and And they
anyone
served,
can use them.
Yeah, they served a great purpose for a while, right?
Yep.
But why did that kind of go away? Or like, what's the? I mean, we don't talk about those anymore, really.
Well, yeah, because everybody's got the new flip cam in their pocket, basically, with a phone.
Right.
I mean, everybody's got it's high quality video, pretty good audio if you could extend a mic. It's more powerful than a flip camera ever was. People feel comfortable doing it. Everybody's posting videos on the social media sites. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you stay in touch. That's how you see things.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the phone's connected, right? Where it's like, this was just a little standalone camera.
Correct.
Yeah, then you had to pop out the USB thing and plug it in and all that.
Right. But, I mean, at the time, it was so revolutionary to us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all wanted a flip cam.
Yep. I still have three of them.
Yeah.
In my drawer.
I got one.
Yeah.
Because for those of us of a certain generation, we grew up with the bigger cameras, and it was a big deal to have a camera.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody had a camera at their disposal at all times to check out a camera for work so you could shoot something.
And
now
everybody
shoots.
And it was integrated into YouTube, right? Because you could load right into YouTube from it. And there was all these things.
I think the first people to really integrate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Direct to YouTube upload.
Through their software, you mean?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Through the software, not directly from the unit.
Right. What's the new flip cam, though? Drones? what's the new, like, widgety thing?
I mean, I would say
drones or GoPros.
GoPros and
GoPros. Yeah.
GoPros. I took a GoPro on vacation, like, forgot I had it. You know, I was using my phone all the time.
I mean, it is.
Your phone has become, like, kind of your device now.
Yeah. Well, replace the DSLR, replace the GoPros, you know, all kinds of things.
Well, I mean, we talk about, you know, what's the best camera you can have? What's the one that you have on you at that time?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a deal, right? But I remember, you know, one year, and I don't remember the year that we had the folks in the atrium playing the piano and all that stuff. Probably 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah, 2013, maybe 2014. I'm trying to think. Yeah, from Iowa, the old couple. And I think
we'll put the link to the show notes.
Didn't the husband recently just pass away?
Yeah, I think so.
90s? Way to bring it down.
Well,
that would be the buzzkill, right?
Well, Randy, I remember we were sitting there. We had the dinner, and then they did some stuff. Whatever. But you had just gotten the iPhone 5C, so we can probably benchmark it by that.
You were
the first one. And that was the first phone that had Siri built in or something like that, I guess. And so that was really when voice kind of made that introduction,
absolutely,
I guess. And so, like, that's now just commonplace, I guess.
And it's funny, even nowadays, I just don't use it enough. And it's one of those things where it's amazing the things you can ask it and how accurate it is. I mean, not to bash a product, but my son and I, we both had the Amazon Alexa product, and to tell you the truth, I think I like Siri a lot better. You know, with Alexa, it's funny, in the mornings getting in the shower, I'd be like, Alexa, play this song, and it'd constantly bring back, I can't find that song, you know, and so I know they're all different, but...
Yeah. Sorry, Alexa users out there.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah, not trying to back...
He just activated everybody.
We make a point to every episode, we actually say Alexa to for anybody listening out loud at home.
That's
fun. Go ahead.
But I like Siri. I mean, I you know, and people that bash Siri out there, my experience with Siri has been fantastic, and I've used it a lot more, but it's amazing what you have in your pocket, the palm of your hand, and people don't realize. I mean, I just take it for granted, you know.
And really, she's on your wrist.
Annoyingly
sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing though, I noticed that, like, it's not only Siri, right? So we're all Apple users, so Siri is our world. But there's Cortana, right?
We do have Sean here, by the way.
Which is that? Does Google
call
it?
Yeah.
They say, "Hey Google," to initiate.
Yep.
So here we go for the people with the home device for Google. Hey Google, play the Touchpoint podcast. Okay, I got that out of the system. Anyway, the point is though, it's like voice now has become a thing, like a whole different ecosystem, right, John?
Yeah, voice search is very, I mean, it's increasing dramatically. We've seen it a lot coming through now. People are searching content using their voice. It's gonna make a huge change in how we do things.
Is it Mayo Clinic Radio on that?
We're on Alexa.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
First Aid as well.
First Aid app,
Well, we do
Skill, app.
Yeah, Skill, and then we also have the
First Aid.
Yeah.
First Aid is the other one.
Really?
And I was talking to someone today about this, because they were kind of saying, well, is really voice first, is that really a thing? And we've talked about this in previous episodes, Reed. When you think about things like Google, the Google ecosystem, Google's really caring about being the ubiquitous product in your life. They want to be all over. They want to be when you search the internet. They want to be in your home devices. That's why they're releasing this Hey Google Cortana device into like cars and in your appliances at home, so you can activate them by voice. That's what they want to do. And then you look at things like Apple. Apple is really going after all of us having one single digital platform. And so Siri is designed to be this where you can talk to everybody within everything within one platform, and you can start to talk to others. They're probably going to go the Waze route in terms of that with their voice. And then you get, you know, Amazon, which is really, they're just designed for you to buy more products from Amazon because that's where they make money.
Well, so something that's interesting to me, we talk about interoperability a lot, especially as it relates to hospitals and marketing technology. Uh-huh. So the marketing automation, CRM, et cetera, how all this stuff talk together. Well, if you think about this, you talk about like Google My Business, for example, and the voice search piece, you can start seeing how some of these things are really, really important that you need to have those listings correct. So when people do, you know, they're in their car, they're trying to navigate somewhere, or they're trying to find, you know, that they actually get where they're supposed to go. I mean, when I was coming here, for example, you know, you fly into an airport and you plug in like Lyft or Uber or whatever, and it's like kind of the right address, but not really. Right. And so eventually you're just like, well, that's fine. I'll just tell them when we get close to pull into here or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. You know, some of these things are going to have to start working together because you're only getting that one choice because of voice.
But at the end of the day, I mean, who owns that source data? And, you know, I went recently through this labor of hate trying to get Apple Maps to get our locations right. That is so difficult. Meanwhile, Google My Business,
you can update it there.
You can update it right there, and it changes across the entire landscape.
Wow, yeah, their products.
Yeah. Hey, we want to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors, and that's our good friends at Binary Fountain.
You know, as a healthcare marketer, it's probably pretty obvious these days how much time you're spending on reviews, ratings relative to hospitals, physicians, all that kind of good stuff. You know, too many of those are going unanswered, and they're certainly not being analyzed.
This could be costing us new and current customers. It could be impacting our patient experience scores and potentially impacting our revenue. Luckily, our good friends at Binary Fountain have an online reputation management platform called Binary Health Analytics.
If you'd like to learn more or even schedule a demo, visit them online at binaryfountain.com. That's binaryfountain.com. So what? So we talked about Google Plus, and we've talked about flip cams. I mean, what are some of those things that we talked about in 2011, 2012 that just don't exist anymore?
I remember I was a big proponent of making sure we don't do vertical video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you know, my background being in, you know, I come from a video broadcasting background, and where, you know, you're a horizontal video, it's like when it's vertical, it is like that is... That is like the beast of all video. Like, you don't want that. And I gotta say,
you end up on YouTube and you have the big black bar.
Right, and that's the biggest problem is, you know, to me, I'm like thinking I have a third less resolution to my video. Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking, like, long term, it's like if you have a bunch of videos you're trying to edit together, you now have to, like, try to, you know, put something on the left and right side.
You're jumping back and forth.
And you see this on, like, TV news quite often on local news and such where they try to... They usually like enlarge the video in the background, but then blur it so that you have something in the background moving, so it feels like there's motion. But I will say I'm now a fan of the vertical video.
Whoa!
This is the first time I've ever said this.
You heard it here first.
And you know what I gotta mention?
Yeah.
So I just watched a new series on Amazon Prime, Homecoming. Julia Roberts. They use vertical video in there to kind of, I think, differentiate between time periods. You know, they do that thing where they jump in between the present and the past.
Yeah.
And every time it's the past, they do the vertical video where you have the black margins on the right and left. And at first I was a little confused. I was like, this would drive Pratt crazy if you watch this. And then I kind of realized, okay, that's why they're using it. But it's fascinating how it's kind of now it's evolved.
So why are you a proponent?
So it took me a while to kind of really turn over on this one. Now, I will say, I still can't shoot it myself. Okay. I just can't.
He's just okay watching it.
I'm fine with watching it. I understand, like, I think it comes down to this. I'm trying to think of what device are we watching a lot of video on. Mm-hmm. And, and you're probably watching more video on your mobile phone than you are on your TV at home. Mm-hmm. On your phone itself, vertical video actually looks really nice. And it also, one area where it looks really well, nice is when you have when you're interviewing a, one person.
Mm-hmm.
It is you know, you can see them standing up where you know, horizontally, you just it doesn't work out that well.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be chest up.
I mean, how much of it though is based off of hardware, right? I mean, these phones are getting bigger. You have the Plus or whatever the larger iPhone is.
Yeah.
And that's it just it gets cumbersome to like now if I want to watch a video I've got to turn it sideways
turn
right
things
because I think
side,
people a lot of time because they're going through a timeline whether it's Instagram Facebook whatever it is and they don't want to then turn it to watch the video they just want to watch it in stream and move on so I think a lot of whether it's vertical or technically probably square
oh well that's the replacement here and that's my beef is square video.
Well, yeah, because on YouTube, you want the horizontal. I mean, vertical
YouTube,
there is, that's why you can't shoot just one, it seems like, one video.
What do you mean? We have to shoot multiple videos now?
Now I have two phones, but
So I'll tell you something interesting there. Spotify, I've noticed, they have a lot more, like, they're the background now. They want, I think the new app on Spotify, at least on the iPhone, has a lot more video and motion, and they're trying to go like they're using the vertical of the
vertical
of your screen.
Form factor,
And so some songs I'm playing, there's music videos going on at the same time, but it looks nice vertically. But then you twist your phone, you know, 90 degrees, and they still it still looks nice horizontally.
So it's like a responsive video.
Oh, is that a thing?
I think you just made up a.
But that's probably very challenging for a videographer then, because you have to really have your action in the middle.
Yes.
So if it's a square form factor, and then horizontal, I wouldn't know what
this,
to do.
This is one of those things, you know, when you watch the, and you can hit the little button like on your iPad, and it fills the whole screen versus the, but it's chopping off, right? Like the sides a little bit or whatever. So is that what this is? I mean,
I don't want to chop off the sides. FOMO. What am I missing?
Just like on TV.
It's like,
4x3.
Right. It's like back in the day when the VHS came out. Or, DVDs
Beta.
Came out.
Yeah.
After the VHS, and it says, this film is formatted to fit your television screen. Because they're basically, they knew that people would not want to see emptiness on their television. So they brought it down.
They stretched it, though, right? Or whatever.
Well, they cropped it.
Yeah, they brought it to they brought it to a 4:3 look. For your television, because everybody had 4:3 TVs, but in the theaters it was 16:9, 16:10.
What else? What else has evolved? I mean, I know Facebook, Twitter, some of those. You know, they've got new features, so to speak, or they've done away with some. And that
you
kind
mentioned
of thing.
One yesterday when you were presenting Reed, kind of what, blew my mind.
What did I say?
You said that organic reach on Facebook is dead.
It's totally dead.
Yeah, totally dead.
From
so the free ride's over, right?
No,
so
like,
when we started doing this. You really could, especially you guys at Mayo Clinic, you got a huge audience. You could get really good traction by just simply posting content, you know, on these platforms, and that's just not the case anymore. I mean, you guys, relative to others, probably still get a pretty good uptick, you know.
You guys meaning Mayo Clinic?
Yeah. Or anyone else that has a very large audience, if you look at the engagement numbers compared to other people's engagement numbers, the number's going to look much larger. Now, percentage-wise, it's probably somewhat comparable. I think it's like 1% to 6% or something like that, depending on how viral you can make it.
You were tracking, like, one of your clients was like 40% organic reach down?
Yeah, over the previous 9 months. And so we looked at the first 9 months of this year versus the previous 9 months, and it was down 40%.
So now, is Facebook just an advertising platform?
Pretty close.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, I will say...
For a brand. Yeah.
So, speaking from my brand, so smaller business, I'm not posting every day now. You know, we're not posting stuff every day because I feel like...
Because it doesn't matter. Frequency doesn't matter.
Right. Okay. I feel like every time I post, I'm going to have to pay for it.
Hmm.
Like, I'm going to put a few bucks behind this post.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll post one good one on a, you know, on a, say, a Monday and then let it go for 2 to 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on my size, I mean, we're I'm trying to get 1 to 3,000, you know, impressions or reach. There we go. You know, that's costing anywhere from, you know, about $5 to $10. But still, I'm not going to do that every single day. If, you know, I'm not going to post something if I'm not going to pay now.
So what do you do? I mean, you're a small business. It's kind of reflective of like some of the smaller hospitals.
Yeah, especially community-based hospitals.
So how do you stratify your social media plan then?
I know the answer to that. MySpace.
We never had a MySpace presentation.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
I'm doing that next year. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I come with you then on that one?
Can you, like, awesome. You need to have, like, you know, some, like, early 2000s clothes going on or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of throwback thing.
Yeah.
Got to fit the whole theme. But, no, we're, you know, I'm posting, you know, less, mm-hmm. but, no, you know, I'm making sure it's a great post and something I want to put some money behind it and then put have it stay up for 1 to 3 days. So maybe only, like, 2-3 posts a week now.
On Facebook.
Just Facebook you're talking about.
What do you, have you gone to other platforms on social?
We do post regularly on Instagram, mm-hmm. Twitter. Instagram is definitely still one of our best reaches.
Mm-hmm. And as somebody that what you guys do is very visual,
it is
obviously.
Very visual. Yeah.
So Instagram would make obviously a lot of sense for that.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like for my audience, at least, I do think Facebook is, like, my main audience.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of going what Reed was saying, organic reach is dead. I mean, it definitely is. Like, I put something up. Like, I'll even do it just to test out test out the theory. And I'll say, I'm not going to put any money behind this one. And it barely gets any reach. You know?
A handful of likes or something. And that's about it.
It's like, why did I put all that energy into creating that post?
Yeah, you know, I think you can still get somewhere with Twitter a little bit. Especially if you have a little bit of a sizable following. Mm-hmm. If you use some hashtags, potentially the right time of day. Maybe you tag some other partners in it or something like that. You can still make Twitter work organically. And I think Instagram still has a little bit of life in it from non-paid stuff.
But no one leaves Instagram.
Sure. Yeah.
No one leaves Instagram. No, it's really hard. At least on the healthcare side of the equation. I don't know what you guys have found on the more kind of B2C side, Jason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't get anybody to leave Instagram like I could Facebook to go do something.
Oh,
fill out a form, call a phone number, mm-hmm. you know, convert, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But
I have to say, I did purchase something off of Instagram the other day, and I felt really weird for doing that.
Wow.
So. Okay, I got one that...
You can now tag products in it, which is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. Have to agree. Okay, I got something that's changed over the last
eight years.
Measurement. Measuring your insights, your analytics, all the things that you're doing around social, they have gone a long way. Now, maybe in the right ways and maybe in the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so yesterday, Reed, you were presenting a lot of the different ways that you can kind of build your campaigns and social media, which is very nuanced and all that. But the data that you're getting back is much more insightful into the kind of, you know, your engagement, your reach, your awareness, and even conversions, leaving Facebook aside, because Facebook has gotten into a little trouble recently for fudging their numbers, their amount of click-throughs and video views. But still, I think that from a measurement perspective, social media has gone a long way, because it's kind of risen up to the level of other types of marketing tools that you can measure.
I know one thing that I'm using a lot and love is Facebook Pixel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if you guys use that at all, and what's your feedback on that?
It's a HIPAA violation.
Some people don't use it.
Oh, is it really?
We do not.
Yeah. So, you know, Facebook pixeling is kind of an interesting idea.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, it could be conceived. It depends on
I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but I do know some hospitals that have gotten letters from law firms, because basically what Facebook Pixel is doing is saying, you know, they're tying back to a Facebook property. This information is going through an unsecured web hosting, you know, somewhere, if you will, from a data standpoint. Again, probably a little bit of a reach, but still, I know a lot of hospitals and healthcare systems, large systems, that have said, pull it down. We can't do that.
Conservative.
Wow.
Well, and that's kind of Foursquare. You know, I was a big proponent of Foursquare.
Yeah.
There was issues with that, with people checking in. And then you kind of said, well, they're self-disclosing where they're at. But I was a huge Foursquare guy, thinking it was going to go places. And it kind of dropped off, you know?
That's an app that I still miss. I thought Foursquare was the coolest.
I thought it was going to be the next big thing.
They self-destructed themselves, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've kind of pivoted in a sense where...
I mean, they're around, are they?
Yeah. I mean, they're a huge data broker now. So that's where a lot of the listing data comes from, is from Foursquare. There's like four or five main data warehouses, three of which you would never have heard of because that's all they do, and why would you have ever heard of these places? Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one is Foursquare. That's where all the Facebook listing data comes from.
Interesting.
What's going to happen with all that data then when GDPR and the equivalent regulations start rolling into the U.S.?
That's up for debate if they're actually going to come this way, because even with California, they passed their light version of GDPR, and that's now in the court systems because, you know, quite frankly, in the U.S., businesses have a much larger influence on our political, on our, you know, the way we pass laws here. I was talking to someone today from Switzerland that's here at the conference, and she was saying that from a GDPR perspective, that Switzerland already had pretty stringent rules, and then once that got implemented, a lot of the targeting that businesses do here that she reads about, but she's like, I don't even understand how that could be applied. Because, quite frankly, everyone has to opt in to say, yes, I would like to be advertised by you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think many people are going to start doing that, particularly here in the United States.
And then ad blockers as well. Yeah. You lose tracking on them because you can't follow those folks.
Yeah. Right.
And I've been getting it to the point now, I had an ad blocker on my browsers, and then, you know, websites are stopping me from seeing the content because I have ad blocker.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, what's the, you know, do I want to see this Harvard Business Review article or not? And I've opted to, you know, make an exception for this website. And now I've made exceptions for most of the websites.
I think I actually got rid of my ad blocker because of that reason. I just got tired of it telling me we aren't going to display this information.
You were just accepting everything.
Yeah.
Just
like, well,
give me the ads.
And I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for the advertising companies and the content companies, because we were pretty much getting a free ride for a while. But, you know, back in the early days when the internet started, they were saying data is free and release the data. That's what the internet was based on, that concept. I don't think it's the case anymore.
Hey, Chris, before we go too much further, jump into this next segment of the podcast, I did want to mention and thank one of our sponsors, Influence Health. You know, they've got a consumer experience platform that covers several things. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we've talked about content management systems on this podcast.
Yeah, we did.
What about CRMs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we covered CRMs for sure.
And then obviously each and every week we talk about digital marketing. So digital marketing systems, you know, in one way, shape, or form have probably been covered, right?
That's right. Digital marketing systems. And I would say that we even talk about it in a way of that overall digital consumer experience.
Well, there you go. I would recommend for anybody interested in one of those topics or anything else, they've also got some complimentary solutions on their website. But head over to their website, take a look at what they've got and what they're offering relative to CMS, CRM, digital marketing systems, kind of how all that is woven together in what they call their consumer experience platform. Find your way over to influencehealth.com.
Who's the next man down? Like, yeah. Which one's the next one to go?
Good one.
Pinterest? Sorry, I did this presentation yesterday and somebody started asking about Pinterest, which I think is obviously still a very popular platform. Yeah. I don't personally use it, and so...
And like the place you go for recipes.
Well, yeah, we're not their target
demographic. I got a potluck coming up.
This is not Pinterest's target demographic. I mean,
probably not. But I do still
us? You mean in the room?
Is that five of us are not.
You're very much right.
But Sean,
hospitals and health systems...
He is the kingpin.
But for hospitals and health systems, right?
I still see there's a fair amount of backlinks, right? Yeah. I mean, people are like, it's going to Pinterest. But what what's the next one down? I mean, not Facebook, obviously. But
obviously, Snapchat's very popular. You know, as far as healthcare goes, are there a lot of... What healthcare organizations are using Snapchat?
Yeah,
Clinic is.
I know a few that are, and the ones that I've seen do it well, it's like in conjunction with like their Children's Miracle Network kind of deployment, if you will. I still am not sure what the right use of that is. I don't know, but yeah that's one I can see being bought and then like you just don't ever hear from it.
Liquidated. I'm actually on Randy's side.
And I think with
one.
Instagram now, you have the stories. Yeah. So
Instagram stories, the only
thing even Facebook stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, same company. The one thing that Snapchat has that Instagram doesn't is your Bitmoji integration, which is just a nice to have, right? No, there's other stuff.
Yeah,
clearly, but I really think that Instagram
Bitmoji.
Yeah, I know. But I mean. But they have a cool augmented reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But Instagram Stories is catching up to that, and I'm with Randy on this one. I think I'm going to call it right now. Snapchat's going to be dead in 2 years.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah,
but after they're bought for like $4 billion,
sure.
Somebody,
I feel like their valuation's gone down.
Yeah,
they probably have. Yeah, yeah. They should have taken the $2 billion from Facebook.
I would check my Snapchat like every day, and now I'm maybe once every week or so. And yeah,
I'm pretty sure I have a Snapchat. I think
I was getting scared for Twitter for a while.
Yeah,
but I feel like they've somehow found themselves back. You know, I think they're back into where we're the social media network for people that don't want to be on social media networks. I feel like they really found that they're in that spot now, where there was a while where I feel like they were losing a lot of momentum from Facebook and probably I think like the fact that they probably put a lot of chips in on their Periscope,
yeah,
and I don't know what happened with that one, but it just. I thought Periscope was absolutely cool, but then Facebook Live just crushed that.
What about Meerkat? I'm just kidding. but that's interesting, though, right? Because as we look at hospitals specifically, if you're talking B2C, you're looking at Facebook and Instagram predominantly, right?
Right.
But if you're looking at B2B or more of that professional conversation, physician to physician, it's all Twitter.
Yeah.
In a little LinkedIn mixed in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some little thought leadership in there. And LinkedIn's had a little bit of a resurgence, quite honestly. When we first started it really was just your online resume.
But can we kill some parts of LinkedIn, like that in-mail stuff we're getting spammed for?
Let me just tell you.
Finally get rid of that recommendations
thing. Can we also stop publishing when people's birthdays are?
Yeah,
I don't care about that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, not on LinkedIn.
I'm with you.
Not on LinkedIn. Gosh. And I swear, if one more person emails me and says, can they help me with my SEO strategy when I have an agency that does SEO, like just glance at my profile.
Yeah.
Just glance at it before you send me the email.
Right.
And so the fact that you can pay, like that's one of their advertise, you know, there's the promoted content, which most platforms have, Twitter, Facebook, etc. They've got the promoted content kind of thing, which that's fine. That makes sense. But this idea that you can pay to like send someone an email, basically.
Yeah.
like, holy cow.
And if you're going to do that, to your point, Reed, get to know me more. And secondly, use the right name. I have had so many of these over the last 3 months where it had the wrong name.
Mm.
Clearly, they're using a form letter.
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot of copy-paste.
Yeah, a lot of copy-paste going on in this space. So maybe LinkedIn will have to change.
Well, but it has changed. It's evolved a lot. Maybe the most. Mm. I don't know. Maybe Facebook. Okay, let's go around. What has evolved? So since 2011, which one of these platforms do you feel like has evolved, changed, morphed the most?
Between
the platforms that still exist.
You know, I gotta say I'm a big fan of Instagram. I like Instagram stories. You know, I think people are more visual nowadays. I think they've done some good things. I mean, so I guess that's my answer.
I'm gonna go with Facebook. To me, it was used to be when we originally started going on Facebook. It was like how you kept up with people, how you know. Saw interesting photos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now it's how you see the bad side of things you don't want to see from your friends,
mm-hmm.
and their political aspirations or mm-hmm. what side they go to, and it's not a happy place anymore.
I had unfriended you, Sean, by the way.
I'm kidding.
No, I'm with Randy. Instagram has. I remember when they first made a big change, which. As a photographer with my back, you know, profession. I hated when they went to the fact that you could do something other than square photos.
Right.
Like that was my first thing they did, and I was like, no, square photos. So and then they added video, and I was mad about that. But I gotta say, I actually love how they do video. I like that you can adjust your photo size, and I'm with Randy.
Can I add just one honorable mention?
Yeah.
Craigslist missed connections. So the other day I was in Winn-Dixie and I locked eyes with this person, and I mean, we traded souls, and now I got an ad out there. Hopefully she's going to call me. So I really love what they've done with their platform. So.
That was such a fun conversation. We went places that I didn't think we were going to go, Randy. As we tend to do. It's kind of fun for us to get together and talk. And of course, you know, as Jason mentioned, that we had a couple cocktails along the way. So thanks, guys, for all your insights and ideas.
Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we end, I think at least at this point, as far as Chris and I know, this will be the last conference that we're doing the podcast from for at least 2018.
Yeah.
So we appreciate everybody's support. Thanks for having us out. The fall has been a lot of fun. We've done several of these conferences, and of course, this is one. This is a great one to end on because it's one that we started with. Chris and I met at least in person at the Mayo Clinic conference probably that first year, I would guess, and then had threatened at least to do a podcast for years. And so this is a lot of fun to end on this one. So I know we're going to do recommendations, and I want everybody's recommendation, but also along with the recommendation, maybe your year, but if you know the year, that's fine. But what was the best social media conference?
Yeah.
Like, what year comes to mind?
Okay, recommendation, and this is something that from my current work that we learned, Amit Sood. I don't know if a lot of people admit Amit Sood is used to be a Mayo Clinic resiliency, but every morning something I've adopted is waking up as your alarm goes off, lay in bed for another minute, keep your eyes closed, and just reflect on three things that you're thankful for. I think it's something that's help me kind of have a better perspective on the day, the week, and something. So I would say that's my recommendation every morning, is try to focus on, before you wake up, the things that you're thankful for.
I like that. That's good.
That's good.
That's good. It's very good.
Do you have a good social media memory?
You know, I have too many to mention in this. I think, you know, one of the first years, 2011 or 2012, I'm thinking, you know, when we first started this back in Rochester.
Okay.
And We all used to hang out at the Doggery, which is the defunct best bar in Rochester, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think Chris would bring the ukulele around. There was the Fox in the Doggery, so we have some great stories about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I look back and reflect on those years, and seriously, they were some of the best years of my life.
Yeah.
Best time of the year, I would look forward to that conference. Just phenomenal. Phenomenal friendships, phenomenal time that we built from those years. So very thankful to be invited
to
this.
Very cool.
Go, Jason.
Yeah. Before I give my recommendation, just to, you know, tag on to that memory. I'm with Randy there. My favorite memory would be probably 2012-13 when I really first, met you guys. And when I say you guys, I'm talking about Chris and Reed, because I already knew Randy and Sean. And that's when I really, it was like, okay, this isn't just about what we're learning here. This is about the people in this industry who also are really into it and great at it. I mean, we can learn a lot from all of us. But we've developed great friendships. And yeah, the nights at the Doggery afterwards were a lot of fun. But the conference itself, I think probably my fondest memory is just interrupting Sean Bishop during his presentation. he says, "Does anybody have any questions?" And I had a question, but I was asking myself a question.
Because he was the presentation before me.
Yeah, so I had a question about my own presentation prior to his.
I have a presentation or question, but it's about my presentation. I like to ask it to myself.
I just like busting Sean's. I like busting Sean's shots.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that was. And also, I'm echoing what Randy said. I mean, some of the best times ever in my career. I absolutely loved those times. Recommendation. I love listening to podcasts, so I'm going to give a recommendation to another podcast.
Nice.
In addition to this one, obviously.
Do it.
And specifically this episode, of course. I love NPR's How I Built This.
Great show.
Can't wait till the next episode comes
out. Great show.
So I refresh my app almost every day. I'm like, did another episode come out? So love it, and I'll give an episode recommendation of that show. Mm-hmm. About a year ago or less, they had an interview with the guy that started Atari and who also founded Showbiz Pizza. And I just remember that title, seeing that title. I was like, founder of Atari / Showbiz Pizza. I'm like, what? I gotta listen to this.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that for anybody. It's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Very good. Sean?
Yeah, I agree with you two. The early years, it was like every year we come back and it was like getting the band back together. We'd have fun. There were so many times where we were sitting in the conference texting or chatting. And I was like, I can't believe I get paid to do this stuff. We were having a great time.
We thought that too.
Yeah. I don't,
you actually didn't get paid, Sean. Just like, they didn't pay you for that.
I also can't believe they get paid to do this.
You know, it was a good time. But it was good friends, and it was fun. For my recommendation, I'm a car guy, so drive a manual. I mean, all of these automatics and autonomous cars, drive a stick, you know. Have some fun.
Very nice. I like that a lot. All right, so I don't know what conference year it was, but we went to the Foundation House. Mm-hmm. That was still probably... Yeah,
that was awesome.
There were other good ones. There's the Plummer Library year. There was, you know, there's a lot
don't
of those.
Don't give away all of them.
Okay, sorry.
I have a memory.
Sorry. But the Foundation House was awesome, and it was really pretty funny because on the way out, like the curator or, you know, the lady that was there, you know, kind of making sure we didn't tear the place up, was like, now remember, we just asked that, you know, no pictures be posted on social media. And like everybody was like,
yeah, I'm not sure we are.
Yeah. Social media.
I'm not sure if you understood exactly what group this is. But anyway, for those that are even a little bit familiar, know that there was a book that was put out, and so we had, you know, put it in the library and took a picture of it in the library of the Foundation House and stuff. Anyway, it's just so much fun. And quite honestly, even that night, you know, we had a really interesting discussion about, you know, where does the network go? What does it look like? Yeah. And there was a lot of great feedback. And so just to have that many people, that many smart folks in a room at the same time is rare. And Randy. Yeah. Randy was even there.
Yeah.
So my recommendation, I'm also going to recommend a podcast. And so I like, my wife and I watch, you know, every, you know, Dateline, MSNBC, mm-hmm. you know, all 48 hours, all that kind of stuff. And so I like these investigative journalist, you know, based shows. And I think I recommended one a couple of weeks ago, the Dr. Death one or whatnot. But there's one called Gladiator, and it's the Aaron Hernandez story, the guy that played at Florida, you know, and anyway, the whole deal. So really well done. It's done by the Boston Globe. It's like a 6-part series. Really cool. And it's just, of course, the production value is very high. And just the story, his life, they go back to high school, talk to coaches, former players. It's pretty fascinating. I mean, it's called Gladiator. You can look that up.
That's the name of the podcast?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out.
The Aaron Hernandez story or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, I get to end it out. So I'll start with a recommendation first because that's a little less of a fanfare. I'm going to recommend Larabars. You guys know what Larabars are? They're
sure
like
do.
Dates
I
and
do.
Nuts. Yeah. And they're very like good, healthy snack. Fan. I tell you, we buy them all the time. I just throw them right in my lunch bag, and then I have a lunch bag. So,
what color is it?
It's brown, like a lunch bag should be.
Yeah.
But it's made out of like fabric, and it's really great. But
cute.
I recommended that a couple episodes ago. I'm recommending the Larabar, because that thing, in the middle of the day, you can just pop one of those in, and you don't feel guilty. It's a good one. And by the way, the how I built this episode with the guy who created Larabars is really good.
Yep.
So, Perfect. Anyway, that's kind of a tie back.
Wow.
There.
That is cool.
Okay, so best memory. I mean, there are so many great memories with you guys. I have photos of some of those memories of Randy in his plaid suit.
the plaid suit.
Yeah. of Jason going through the little tiny door underneath the Kaler. of you guys swapping the glasses.
Yeah.
And the red glasses, etc. One of my most favorite memories, I guess, would have to be the espresso martinis.
Oh,
when we were at the bar having espresso martinis. Well, at least maybe you and I had espresso martinis, Randy. But we were all there, and there were some other friends.
City Cafe.
No longer there.
Defunct, yep.
Right?
City Cafe, yep.
It's now like a taco place?
Yeah, it's a taco place.
Taco place.
Anyway. Cafe Rojo.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's
it called?
Cafe Rojo?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just remember sitting there. We were all chatting there. You were like so hot on us having these espresso martinis.
Yeah, I remember
they were probably the worst things ever.
Did you like them?
Well, you know, but still.
Oh, I love them.
But that's just that whole time.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Like, that's the beginning. Or maybe, you know, even bringing it way back, the first time in Jacksonville, Florida, when I got on that stage and I started to talk about ROI of social media, and you thought, I thought the room was going to blow up.
Yeah.
Those early memories are great.
What year was that?
That was...
2010?
That was 2011, I thought.
Yeah.
Or spring, though. It wasn't
fall. It was in spring.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. It was 2011 in spring.
I think I was...
That was before you.
Yeah.
Pre-Pratt?
Yeah.
Pre-Pratt.
Yeah.
The Pre-Pratt
era. Yeah.
Anyway.
Very cool.
I followed that on Twitter, though. I actually remember watching that live. No, I did, because I just applied to work at Mayo, so I'm, like, following their Twitter feed, and it was, like, I think I applied, like, a week prior to that event, and I was like, whoa, they're in town. They're in Jacksonville, but...
Well, lots of good stuff. We could go on for a long time, but I'm hungry, so let's go to dinner. So appreciate you guys hanging out and doing this. It's a lot of fun, and we'll do it again in the future. So for Randy, Chris, Jason, Sean, and Reed, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been a Touchpoint Media production. To learn more about this show and others like it, please visit us online at touchpoint.health.